ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरम चैव नरोत्तमम्
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम्
ततो जायमुदीरये. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text Number 80. Tasmin abhiyayati vishvamatmano dvaram nirudhyasum ananyayadhyaya loka nirudhvasa nipidita brasham saloka pala sharanam yayurharim tasmin. Dhruva Maharaj, abhidhyayati,
abhidhyayati,
when meditating with full concentration,
Vishwamatmanaha,
Vishwamatmanaha, the total body of the universe, Dwaram, the holes, Nirudhya, closed, Asum, the life air, Ananyaya, without being diverted. Tiya, meditation. Lokaha,
all the planets.
Niruchvasa,
having stopped breathing.
Nipiditaha, thus being suffocated. Vrisham, very soon. Salokapala, all the great demigods from different planets. Sharanam, shelter. Yayu, took. Harim, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation. When Dhruva Maharaj became practically one in heaviness with Lord Vishnu, the total consciousness, due to his fully concentrating and closing all the holes of his body, the total universal breathing became choked up. And all the great demigods in all the planetary systems felt suffocated and thus took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When hundreds of persons are sitting on an airplane, although they remain individual units, they each share in the total force of the airplane, which runs at thousands of miles per hour. Similarly, when unit energy is identified with the service of the total energy, the unit energy becomes as powerful as the total energy. As explained in the previous verse, Dhruva Maharaj, because of his spiritual advancement, became almost the total heaviness, and thus he pressed down on the whole earth. Moreover, by such spiritual power, his unit body became the total body of the universe. Thus, when he closed the holes of his unit body to firmly concentrate his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the units of the universe, namely all the living entities, including the big demigods, felt the pressure of suffocation as if their breathing were being choked. Therefore, they all took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they were perplexed as to what had happened. This example of Dhruva Maharaj's closing the holes of his personal body and thereby closing the breathing holes of the total universe clearly indicates that a devotee, by his personal devotional service, can influence all the people of the world to become devotees of the Lord. If there is only one pure devotee in pure Krishna consciousness, he can change the total consciousness of the world into Krishna consciousness. This is not very difficult to understand if we study the behavior of Dhruva Maharaj. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Nivitam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Neda Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katahmayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Lancha Kalpataru Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patita Mampa Anebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Gautrey Manande Haribo. Jhuva Maharaj was a little boy, 5 years old, and when he tried to sit on the lap of his father, King Uttanapad, his father, being biased towards one of his wives, Suruchi, didn't stop Suruchi when she forbade Dhruva Maharaj to sit on the lap of his father. In other words, he felt powerless because he had a vested interest. He was invested in pleasing his wife, and so when she objected and she said, "You can't sit on the lap of your father, on the king," it meant something. It was very symbolic, because there's in kingdom always some feeling that there's so much power and it has to be passed down properly. And we know from the Ramayana that Kaikeyi became polluted by mantra when she had heard of a short discourse from her. She was completely happy to give the kingdom to, or to see the kingdom being given to Ram, who wasn't her so-called biological son. And Mantra, who was envious, convinced her within a short amount of time that she should also be envious of Ram and call up the two boons that he had, that Dasarath, her husband, had given previously, and then ban Ram to the forest for 14 years and install Bharat, son of Kaikeyi, on the throne instead. And these types of intrigues tend to go on because there's so much power to deal with in a kingdom, and there's certain ways in which the power gets passed on. So out of affection, Dhruva Maharaj wanted to sit on the lap of his father. He was trying to climb up there. But then Suruchi said, "You can't do this unless you take birth again from my womb, because I'm the favored one in this kingdom and by your father, so you can't do it." And imagine how Dhruva felt when his father didn't resist that. He just sort of went along with it. And Suruchi also said that you would have to pray to God. And by praying to God, then you could take another birth from my womb. Then you could have a chance. This is sort of the mood of some people also who feel that they have a by birth an inside track to being dear to Krishna. Sometimes people, because they're born in a certain kind of family, they feel automatically that they're more favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead than others. And when Dhruva heard this, he ran to his biological mother, and crying hot tears of anger, he bitterly complained to her and told her what had happened. In fact, some of the servants who had been in that area had overheard the conversation, as it happens in these kinds of situations, because there's always so many servants around and everyone's always talking about what's going on amongst themselves. Guess what? Who said what? And so forth. So they came running in also, and they explained to Dhruva Maharaj's mother, filled in the details, what had happened, what was the scene, and so forth. And Suniti, his mother, became compassionate to Dhruva. She was also very upset by the situation because she was powerless in this situation. And pretty much, it's interesting that we're all powerless. We may have so many good intentions. We may even be chanting Hare Krishna. But because of the force of circumstances of our life, we may be forced to do things that we don't like to do. We may have to grow up in certain situations, or have to work in certain situations that we don't like. These are due to the inevitable force of destiny and time. And they're things that one has to tolerate. And even better than tolerating, or along with tolerating, the advice of Suniti was that you should, Dhruva, abide by this advice Suruchi has given. Do take shelter of God. This is the only way. Only he can help us at this point. And Dhruva wanted to know, you know, where to find God, and she had suggested that great sages find him in the forest. They do austerities and so forth. So Dhruva, imagine his determination as a five-year-old boy, immediately left the kingdom behind and just ventured off into the forest. He didn't know exactly how he was going to find God or which part of the forest. He had no specific information. He just went. And this is really the process for finding God. One must have this raw enthusiasm to find God. One must feel that I must find him. When that determination is there within the heart, then Krishna helps. He says in the Bhagavad Gita that tesham satati yukdanam pajitam priti purvakam dadami puti yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Prabhupada uses that verse a lot in reference to any kind of sincerity that's there within the heart of the living being. Any kind of sincerity one can muster, that feeling that I must find God. And we find also in the story of Gajendra, who is an elephant, who was even glorified by Prahlad Maharaj when Prahlad Maharaj had been pushed forward to pray to Lord Nrsimhadev to pacify him after the demigods, hold it, after the demigods had failed with streams of excellent words, even though they were in the mood of goodness. Then they said, Prahlad, you try. And Prahlad said, demigods tried. I'm from a demoniac family. They're in the mode of goodness. They know Sanskrit. I don't know anything. What can I say? And then he remembered Gajendra. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. He remembered that Gajendra, the king of elephants, had glorified the Lord with prayers, and he had pleased the Lord. Bhagavan tutosha. Krishna was satisfied with his bhakti, so he reasoned that if the king of elephants, if an elephant, as Prabhupada says in that context, the elephant may be a big fatty animal, but because he sincerely offered prayers to the Lord, he satisfied him. So Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, I can do this by sincerely offering prayers to the Lord. The Lord will accept my prayers. And Gajendra is an interesting case because he didn't even know who the Supreme Personality of Godhead was, and practically he didn't even know what kind of prayers he was offering. He remembered them from a previous life. He was Indradumna, a king in his previous life, and he had offended a sage. Sage had cursed him, as sages tend to do. And in the next life, he remembered prayers that he had very regularly chanted every day. And they came out, but he wasn't sure what they were. It was Krishna's arrangement. Prabhupada mentions in that context that along with chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, devotees should also memorize and regularly recite other prayers like the Brahma Sanghita and the Jashringa Stotram. He said, in case you don't make it, or there's some slip up, you become an animal in your next life, you'll still be able to remember these prayers. But Gajendra simply offered the prayers, and the demigods listened. They said, those are not for us. These are for Adhoksaja. And then when the Lord heard them, he said, okay, these prayers, I'll accept them. And he came and he liberated Gajendra in that situation. So by offering sincere prayers, even though he didn't know the specifics, he didn't know how. So Dhruva didn't know how either. He didn't know who the Lord was specifically or how to find him, except he just got some general information. He said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go. And this is, we find many people, they come into this life and they become frustrated or they have some distress or they have their need of money. Krishna says these things. Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjana arto jignasa artarti jnani cha bhartarshapa. Four kinds of pious people, they have some sukriti. When they get in some situation, they begin to pray to God. And Krishna comes and helps. And so Dhruva was determined. He was off to the forest. And on the way there, he was intercepted by Guru, Narada Muni. And how did that happen? Well, the verse says that Narada overheard the conversation. And Prabhupada explains that although he wasn't there, first of all, Narada Muni's trikalagya, he can understand past, present, and future because Krishna is informing him from within the heart. And that's the reason he overheard it, because Narada Muni is so much in tune to helping living entities, to serving the Lord. Helping living entities is his service to bring the living entities back. That Krishna then said, here comes Dhruva Maharaj, this is his situation. And so, Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Pakti Lata Beach. If someone is sincerely searching for God, if there's some sukriti within the heart and they reach out, then Krishna makes an arrangement. And he made an arrangement so that Dhruva Maharaj would meet Narada Muni. And Narada gave instructions to Dhruva Maharaj saying that this can be worked out. There's a sun shining right in Vishnu Prabhu's eyes. Can you close that curtain? Just that one. Oh, it's coming from up there? Okay. So he told them that you can be equipoised to other living beings and by giving respect to people who are superior to you, making friends with people who are on an equal level, by giving compassion to those who are on a lower level, and you know, live your life like this, you can tolerate this situation, it'll be okay. And Dhruva Maharaj says, thank you very much, but I can't follow your instruction, because he had hot blood. Prabhupada explained that he's born in the family of a Kshatriya, so he had this hot blood that he was stung by this situation. He was insulted. Even though he was a little boy, he felt that, why should I take this? He couldn't get over it. And he said, I want God. I want restitution. I want a kingdom. I'm going to show them My mother used to say, never, never underestimate the power of all show them. And he had that feeling. And he said, I'm sorry, but I have to go do this. And then there was a sort of test. Narada Muni then acknowledged the fact that he was very, very determined. And this is an important aspect that of spiritual advancement. Rupa Goswami mentions it in his Nectar of Instruction, that one must be very determined. And Prabhupada gives a story in the Bhagavad Gita about the bird who lost her eggs to the ocean and said, please give them back. And the ocean said, nope, sorry. No can do. And the little bird got huffy and came over and said, I'm going to peck out all your water until you give it back. And the ocean said, ha, 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 good luck. And then Garuda came down and said, hey, that's my sister bird. You give back, otherwise I do it. And the ocean then gave back the eggs. And there's a way in which when I become determined like that, that no matter what happens, no matter what situation I'm in, no matter what the odds, I'm going to do my devotional service. I'm going to go back to Godhead. I'll do it no matter what. Then the heaven and earth move to assist us. Krishna sees our determination and will come and help us. This is necessary. First, we must have the determination. Then the facility comes. Not that there's no facility, therefore I can't make advancement. Unless I get something to help me. I need money to get started. See, Prabhupada didn't have any money when he came to America. He didn't have any facility except that he had that determination that do or die, I'm gonna come to America. This is sort of symbolic, the Jaladuta. He get on the Jaladuta and came to America not knowing what to expect, but in another way, knowing what to expect. That if you're completely determined and you depend on Krishna for everything, you can expect miracles. This is the mood of the devotee. This is the excitement of actually being in devotional service, gambling your life away on this surrender process to Krishna. It's the replacement for the other kind of gambling that is prohibited. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada mentions this, that in these four regulator principles, we don't gamble, but we can replace it by gambling our life for surrender to Krishna. That I'm getting on the Jaladuta. So everyone has to find their Jaladuta. What is your Jaladuta in life? What is it that you're going to gamble on with this kind of determination that you roll the dice of your life and you say, I'm putting it all on Krishna. And that's exciting life. Otherwise, it's life as usual in the material world. Thinking that one has shelter, but it's bad shelter. And it's a mechanical process. The material modes of material nature pull us along due to the tinges of material desire and attachment. Again and again, I get recycled through the ordinary system in the material world. But as soon as I have this feeling that no more, I'm going to surrender to Krishna and leave it to him, then miraculous, wonderful things happen. And that's how it happened to Dhruva Maharaj. Narada Muni came, he gave him instruction, and now he gave him very particular instruction about how to perform the process of devotional service. And Ashtanga Yoga, he was teaching him, and a mantra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions to Sanatan Goswami, the outset of his teachings to him, that when a living entity is wandering in the material world and he meets a devotee physician, then he gets two things. He gets instructions and he gets hymns. Means mantras, because the mantra is the medicine. It can free us. And the instruction is the diet, how to apply one's life to chanting the mantra and so forth. And with these two things, instructions and mantras or hymns, then one can become cured. And that's just what Narada Muni gave to Dhruva Maharaj, these hymns and instructions. So he gave him the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he told him how to restrain his senses and meditate on the Lord and so forth. And that's just what Dhruva did. Very precisely followed the instruction of his spiritual master. And this is a very important point, that once one has the determination for spiritual life and Krishna benedicts one with the association of a spiritual master to guide one, one should grab onto those instructions as one's life and soul. And Prabhupada always accredited his success to spreading the Krishna consciousness movement and anything else that he achieved to following the order of his spiritual master. And he said he had a revelation when he read the verse, Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka yanantascha buddhayo avisayinam. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had commented on that verse that is vitally important to take the instruction of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. And that's just what Prabhupada did, and he said everything came from that. And Prabhupada comments in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, that the direct order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of his internal potency. And it is by that manifestation that one comes to see the Lord face to face. And so by taking the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, coming through his representative, the spiritual master, and embracing that order as one's life and soul, then it's a lifeline. This is what enables us to keep completely focused and shut out the extraneous desires that take us in various directions, that keep us loitering in the material world, by grabbing onto that instruction and executing it. Because an instruction needs to be executed, and we have senses. We have to execute. We have to use them. Otherwise, when they're idle, they'll simply find some other engagement. So the engagement should be focused on the instruction of the spiritual master. And then we have Krishnanu Shilanam. Shil, in the first section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 11th verse, says, Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmanyana vritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti ruchate. Uttama, excuse me. That Krishna anushilanam means that there's a kind of cultivation. We actually have to do something. We have to be making progress. There's a plan involved. And that plan is charted out in the 64 different methods of devotional service. And when one gets specific instruction from the spiritual master, one can very specifically cultivate a kind of life of following the orders of the spiritual master and executing the mission and so forth. And by doing that, one can have complete focus. And that's what Dhruva had. He got that instruction from Narada Muni, and he took it exactly as he got it, and he performed austerities, he restricted his eating, he bathed three times a day in the sacred river. There he was in Madhuvan. And he chanted his mantra with great determination. And he was able to choke up the life airs of the universe. That's what's being mentioned in this verse. This is kind of mystic power, and Krishna describes this in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam to Uddhava, how yogis get their powers. They have such power of focus on a particular element in the material world, and the element has some kind of influence, and the yogi becomes one with that influence, and he assumes that kind of power by that kind of focus. So Dhruva Maharaj, by his intensity of meditation and by controlling his breathing and connecting to Vayu, the deity of air, there was a way in which he was able to control the breathing or the movement of air in the universe. And by that, the demigods were disturbed. Of course, they were disturbed mostly because they thought, here's another demon. And they don't like to be... I mean, nobody who has a vested interest in the material world, who has any kind of comfortable position or anything that they're trying to hang on to, likes any kind of change. Nobody likes change but a wet baby. And they complain too. And so they were worried that here's another demon that's getting some power, and they prayed to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Narayan said that this is a devotee. I'll go take care of it. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. It's not another demon. So when the Lord came, he appeared as Prishnigarbha, and he blessed Dhruva Maharaj. Particularly in this purport, I read this the other day, and I was attracted to this statement that Prabhupada makes, that just as Dhruva Maharaj choked up the whole universe by his breathing because of his determination and his practice, Prabhupada says one pure devotee, can affect the consciousness of people all over the world. He can turn everyone to devotees all over the world by the force of his or her intensity of focus on Krishna. That's how powerful Krishna consciousness is. And we see the effect that Prabhupada had when he came to America and traveled around the world. People became influenced by his presence and by the way he spoke. Prithu Maharaj, in his prayers to the Lord in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, mentions that when a person who is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness speaks, the vibration of his words touches the lotus feet of Krishna, on which are sprinkled saffron mercy particles. And the vibration disturbs those particles, mixes with them, and when the vibration then reaches the ear of the audience, the vibration is changed because it is mixed with saffron mercy particles. And this is the power of consciousness. Consciousness is the power. There is no other power. In the material world, Krishna says, aparayamitastvanyam prakritim vinime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayetam daryate jagat. This material universe, which is dull matter, he already described that in the previous verse, all the different elements, is being animated by the consciousness. And it's such an amazing force, consciousness, that Krishna says, ascharyavat paschiti kaschirinam, ascharyavat vadati tataiva chanya, that it's amazing. Some see it as wonderful, some hear it as amazing and wonderful. Most people can't understand it at all. Even after hearing about it, it's very difficult to understand how the consciousness is animating the body. Most people don't even think about it. They just think, I am the body. And they identify blindly with the senses and the mind, and they get carried along in this dull life. Jada buddhi parihari. That's why we take prasad. We say in the prayers, jada buddhi parihari, prasada bhojana kodi. By taking prasad, we'll get rid of this jada buddhi, this idea that I am the material body and so forth. But that conscious energy is all powerful. Vishnu just glances over the material energy and it becomes animated just by his glance. And I was noticing yesterday when we were on Sankirtan on the street how if you glance at somebody, even from across the street, if you make eye contact, there's some kind of conscious connection. There's somebody looking back at you, and it's very meaningful. When somebody looks at you in the eyes, what is that? There's a transfer of consciousness from one person to another, and you're affected by it. And according to the mood of the person, whether if they're enthusiastic, if they're sarcastic, you can pick all that up within half a second just by looking at somebody in the eyes. That's why we were talking about radar yesterday. You hold up your hand and say, hi, and then they look back at you and you go, okay, I know where you're at. You're not interested or you're in a hurry and so forth. Consciousness is practically an intangible, but it's so subtle. And we can actually perceive by looking at someone, by being in their presence, how they're feeling, what they're feeling. What do they say, passive aggressiveness? Mm-hmm. We can tell that somebody's being aggressive towards us, even if it's in a passive way. It's very subtle, but like, I understand, you just closed the door a little bit harder than you usually do. You didn't like the fact that I gave you a cold dinner, or whatever it is. You know, we're very perceptive. We're sentient beings, so we're sensitive. We can understand what's going on in the environment. And so, in this verse, Prabhupada's pointing out that when somebody refines their consciousness to pure Krishna consciousness, that everywhere he or she goes, there's an effect on the environment. Just as Dhruva Maharaj choked up the whole universe, a person who refines their consciousness through consciously thinking of Krishna, which is a whole lifestyle. Thinking of Krishna, Krishna says, man mana bhava mat bhakto, just think of me. And we say, this is the whole process, just think of Krishna. There's only two rules in Krishna consciousness, despite the fact there may be seem like there's thousands of rules. Shastra says, only two rules, always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. So how do you do that? You have to change your lifestyle. Everything has to be rearranged so that you can think of Krishna. Tanama rupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramera sana manasini yoja tishtan raje tananuragi jananugami kalam nayed akilamityu padesha saram. Rupa Goswami says, rearrange your life. This is the essence of all advice. Rearrange your life so that you can always think of Krishna. Always chant about him, always hear about him, and so forth. And if you do that, you'll transfer yourself out of the material world. Tishtan vraje. Pretty soon, you won't be situated in the material world. You'll be situated in Vraj. And after a while, you'll emulate, you'll follow after the residents of Vraj. You'll get to know who they are. You'll actually have a connection with them in the spiritual world. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami, said, Tahan visarita hoya pali prema pal ihan mali sheche nitya shravanadi jal. He said that we are gardeners. He compared the devotee to a gardener. And he said, so tahan in the spiritual world, visarita means to greatly expand. Pali prema pal, the fruit of love of God and the creeper, which is a byproduct of the bhakti seed that gets planted in the heart by association with devotees, that grows when one waters it. And he says, Ihan Mali, Sheche Nicha Shravane Jaga. He calls us Malis, we're gardeners. So he said, when the gardener in this world waters that seed of devotional service, it grows and it goes all the way to the other world. It makes positive contact with spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. And there it greatly expands when it connects to the lotus feet of Krishna. And then it bears the fruit of love of God. This is the power of consciousness. You can be in one place, but transfer yourself. So by rearranging your life in this world so that you can always hear and chant about Krishna in the association of pure devotees, the creeper will grow. It will make positive contact with the spiritual world. Tishtan vraje tananaragi jananugami. Then we'll know everything about that spiritual world. We'll have a relationship there. And we'll be able to follow in the footsteps of one of the residents of Rajabhumi. And we'll know about that. And we'll be interested in it, vitally interested. Even though we may still work in a cubicle somewhere in this world, that we'll have dual citizenship in the spiritual world by this process of hearing and chanting. And the only way to actually spread Krishna consciousness is to oneself think of Krishna, to be absorbed in the holy name, to have a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, for worshipping the deity, for associating with devotees, for living in the holy Tham. And when one has this positive taste and one's consciousness is transformed, then there's automatically an influence. One automatically has an influence on other people and on the environment. The environment changes around such a person. This was confirmed by Yudhishthira when he said to Vidura, Bhavad Bhida Bhagavatas Tirta Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirta Kurvanti Tirtani Swantak Stena Gadaprita. He said, you, Vidura, are a holy place personified. Wherever you go, he said, you purify even the holy places. When you go, some people, they go to all these tirthas to leave all their sins, because their idea is, oh, we'll go there, get cleaned up, and we'll get washed up. Let's go get washed up at the holy dham. And so they go to the holy dham, they leave all their sins, and then they go back to their normal life and sin again, and so forth. But when a person whose consciousness is so refined and so fixed on Krishna goes to those holy places, like Vidura does, even those holy places become cleaned up by the presence of such a person. That's the effect of consciousness. It can affect even the most dirty places, just as the sun dries up filthy things that are left along the railroad tracks out just outside of Calcutta. And the sun comes down and it dries up everything and it purifies it. So that's the power of pure consciousness. So this is possible for everybody. It's not it's restricted. And in fact, everyone is being called by the Shastra and by the devotees that you must take to this progressive path to refine your consciousness, come to Krishna consciousness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very specifically was inviting us to join his Sankirtan movement, to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. And sometimes people ask that, well, how can I do that? I'm not in perfect consciousness myself. How can I give it to others while I'm in a preliminary stage of development? And the answer is that by going on Sankirtan, one actually performs a high kind of sadhana. When you go out and you meet people and you teach them what you know so far, and then they object, you come home hungry because then you realize, I have some objections to overcome. It's always better to come back with more questions than answers. And that way you stay hungry because you're eager to read more Shastra, to hear more about the process of Krishna consciousness so you can represent it. And if doubts are created when you're out preaching Krishna consciousness, then you have work to do when you come back. You can ask someone who's more advanced and say, how do I overcome this doubt or this objection and so forth? And that's how one becomes stronger and stronger in Krishna consciousness and becomes solidly situated in the Madhyama Adhikari, a platform of Krishna consciousness, and then Uttama Adhikari platform where one is fully conversant with the Shastra and has firm faith in Krishna. Okay, I'll stop there and then we can have reflections and any questions.
You mentioned that we need to find Krishna, we need to find God. So does it mean that we expect to see him in our front of as a person? What does that mean?
Yeah, it means you'll see him in person, face to face. That will be the ultimate fruit of your search for God. He'll reveal himself. But it begins in a simple way. Atashri Krishna Madi Nabaved Graham Indriye Seva Mukihi Jivado Swayameva Spuratyada. We don't have to look at any lofty thing to start with. We only have to look at controlling our tongue, the Shastra says. If you just control your tongue and you speak about Krishna, you restrict the speaking process to glorifying Krishna and his devotees and talking about service. And when you have to do other kinds of things in your daily life, you do it officially. You say, yes, sir, no, sir, okay, sir. But you don't really, you're only doing it because you have to, but not because your heart's in it. And your tongue is restricted in only those topics which relate to advancing in Krishna consciousness. That's real austerity. And eating, because what you eat affects your consciousness directly. And if you eat Krishna prasadam, then it purifies all of the finer brain tissues and it subtly affects how your consciousness acts. If you eat prasadam, then you naturally become Krishna conscious. Jada buddhi parihari prasada bhojana kodi. Hari hari bolo sarvajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that, well, today we'll become free from jada buddhi, from this material intelligence by taking prasadam. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, prasade sarvadukhanam hani rasyopajayate prasanna chitaso yasu puri pariyavatishtite. That when you get the prasad, then you, prasade sarvadukhanam, first of all, your misery goes away. Hani rasyopajayate prasanna chitaso, your mind becomes happy. And puri pariyavatishtite, your intelligence becomes fixed. As you get spiritual intelligence. Your spiritual intelligence is awakened. And that's important. So start with controlling the tongue. And then the verse says, Krishna will reveal himself. So we can't see Krishna, but Krishna can reveal himself to us. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo na medhayana bahuna shutena yami vaisha vrinute tena labhyas tashyaisha esha Vrivinute tanum swam. You can't attain Krishna by any kind of your own, by any of your own endeavors. But if he decides that he likes you, or if he's inclined, then he can just reveal himself. That's the process. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that don't try to see God, but try to act in such a way that God will want to see you. He also said, don't try to be a great devotee, just try to be a good devotee. Another question? Yes?
Probably in the beginning you mentioned about how Kaikeyi got influenced by Mantara's envy. And then even though Kaikeyi in the beginning was very happy hearing Lord Ram will become the king. So what is it that gets that makes a person get influenced by thoughts of other person? First thing, like, and then the other thing is, like, you also mentioned about Prabhupada influenced so many people in a positive way. So you have to open up yourself to get positively influenced, but not to get negatively influenced. So the question is, what is it that actually makes you get influenced by others, and how do you prevent getting negatively influenced by others?
Well, one thing is by proximity. Proximity is important because when you're around people who have bad habits, or you'll pick up those habits naturally. And if you happen to be around people who have bad habits because it's your duty to do that, or because you're preaching, then you have to inoculate yourself. Just like doctors who go into hospital all the time, they're very careful to wash their hands. You know, they wash their hands for about half an hour and then they hold them like this. And they make sure they don't touch their eyes or any other holes of their body, because they know they're dealing with contaminated people. They're going to get contaminated. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, who is a Vaishnava? He said, Asat Sangatyag, E Vaishnavachar. He said, someone who gives up bad is very careful about not associating with Asat, which means people who have great optimism about the material world. This is not a bad place. We just have to try a little harder. A couple more seminars and we got it. And, you know, you have to be careful. You have to be really careful about who you associate with. Because as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, all of what we have now comes because of our association, has come as a result of our association. Purusha prakriti stohi punkte prakriti janganan karanam gunasangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. Whatever situation you're in now, you've got it because of your association. And we have to remember that we're tatasta. Tatasta means that we're influenceable. We can be influenced one way or the other. And there are two things Prabhupada said are important. One is you must always remain humble, and the other is you must always be careful. These are two things to avoid falling down from one's exalted position. And it's a regulative principle that one must not fall down. Prabhupada says this in the Bhagavatam. Is a regulative principle that to not fall down from your exalted position. So one thing is you have to be humble. Don't think that you're above. If you associate with the material energy in any form, Prabhupada specifically says in one place, someone who's a devotee who is associated with an attractive woman shouldn't think, I'm above being affected by this. I'm a Paramahamsa, therefore I'm above being affected by associating with the opposite sex. Is that that's not being careful. You should always think that I can be influenced, and therefore you should be careful, and don't let your mind say, you're like, I'm okay because I'm covered. I'm an ISKCON, therefore I'm covered. I chanted my rounds, therefore I'm covered. So you have to be careful. Don't assume it. Prahlad Maharaj says in his prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, I'm not afraid of you, although the whole universe is right now freaking out because even Lakshmi Devi's never seen anything like this. Is this my husband? He's really lost at this time. I mean, it's like Nrsingadev was so angry, he was scaring everyone in the whole universe by his roaring, and he had this, you know, mane soaked with blood and these high wedge-like ears and sharp teeth and his nails, and he just slaughtered all the armies of Hiranyakashipu. It was scary. The demigods were afraid. Even. And Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid of your Maya. Vishnu Maya scares me. He said, just let me always stay aloof from Maya. Let me stay afraid of Maya. And so we have to be careful. We always have to be careful. not to be influenced by Maya, not to let slip in. Because Prabhupada said she's like a silver-tongued salesperson who comes to your door. It's like somebody knocks on your door, don't open it. Because next thing you're going to buy a vacuum cleaner for $1,200 and you already had one. You know, this like, yeah, tell you what. No, yeah. What's it going to take for us to get you into a vacuum cleaner today? And, you know, she'll talk you into it if you just open the door a little bit. I was going door to door, and we were in this apartment complex. So I saw this couple go upstairs and go in there. No, actually, I didn't see them. I just heard, from the other hallway that somebody had gone in their door, so I knew someone was in there, so I knocked on the door. No answer. I knocked again. And the woman behind the door said, sorry, we're not interested. But I could hear an accent in her voice. I said, what's that accent? Where are you from? And then there was quiet for a little while. And then she said, we're from South America. And I said, hola, hola, ¿qué tal? And I started speaking a little bit in Spanish. And then there was quiet for a little while. Then she opened the door a crack. You know? I said, how are you? You know. And next thing she bought a book. And I was thinking that don't open the door, you know. Maya's like that. She'll like through the door, like, hey, just a second, you know. So be careful and always be humble. Don't think that you're above anything. Always think that I'm the most influenceable of all, and try to be careful. And then you have, that's spiritual intelligence, to discriminate that Maya is very powerful and I'm very weak. Did I answer your question?
In a way, it's easy to see if the attack comes from somebody that is like visibly, like in this case, Mantara, she was a friend, she was close associate. So it's very hard to see when... distinguish that this is a bad thing to get influenced by. I mean, sometimes, yeah, you know, karmis you can attend, you can avoid, but then it's difficult to see or avoid the influence of devotees on you and not knowing if that influence is a positive influence or negative.
Yeah, so therefore it's very important to always fortify our intelligence. We have to hear and chant really carefully. One thing is chanting really good rounds. Because when you chant really good rounds, first of all, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Yashuvayara Gyam Gyanam Chayara Haitukam. When you really focus on serving Krishna, especially chanting Hare Krishna, you get Jnana Vairagya. And Tachchadadhana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashantyatmani Chatmanam Bhaktya Shuta Grihitaya. Bhakti Shruti Grihita, this verse of Sutta Goswami in the first canto of the Bhagavatam says that the devotee is fortified with this jnana and vairagya. It helps protect him. And also, commenting on that verse, Jiva Goswami has said in his Bhakti Sandarbha that the Grihitaya, the devotee must be thoughtful. You must be thoughtful to be a devotee. It means that you really have to analyze the subtleties of the situations and your association. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur clarifies this, or not so much clarifies it, but he talks about the same subject in the cleaning of the Gudicha temple, when he mentions how subtle are the anartas. And the analogy is, when Mahaprabhu cleansed the Gudicha temple, he took out the big particles first, straws and pieces of dirt, and then they clean it again, and then they clean it again, and then the particles become so fine that these are compared to the very subtle anartas that can reside within the heart. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also said in some of his final instructions to his disciples that we can't be affected. We're only affected by those things that are already lingering in our heart. They can be stimulated because of the outside. If we're maintaining anartas in our heart, then... And we hear some criticism, or we hear some envious kind of thing, like mantra speaking, then we can pick that up. So we have to be careful to keep our heart so clean that those types, we can distinguish, that is something subtly envious, that is something that's off. We can understand that, and we then have the intelligence to discriminate and avoid it. And that's really necessary because anywhere we go. Prabhupada says people can change, and we have to become expert at understanding what is siddhanta. Siddhanta means knowing what something is, also what it isn't. It means to be very precise about what the philosophy is. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the duty of an acharya was to very carefully show what are the deviations from the actual, you know, philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted that there not be as much land as on the size of a pin for the Mayavadis to stand on anymore through his strong preaching. And so we have to constantly hear and learn to use our intelligence to discriminate what is the proper mood of a devotee, what is the actual siddhanta, and so forth. And therefore, then when we're exposed to something, we'll know it. Yes?
Yeah. You were saying like even one pure devotee can change the consciousness of the whole world. So similarly, like, and we saw like the example of Gautam. But we also see like the influence of bogus guru. So they also influence, and they have so many followers. Like, how is it like? Because to being a servant of Krishna is being our natural consciousness. So how people get influence of these bogus gurus?
Well, if I want to be cheated, then Krishna provides me a situation in which I can be cheated. He'll give me somebody who can cheat me to fulfill my desire. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. It's rare, actually, that one is vitally interested in going back to Godhead. Prabhupada says that in the verse, the purport to the verse, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. He says, you know, Krishna's offering an invitation to go back home, but he said practically nobody wants to go back to Godhead. In one way or another, everyone wants to be cheated or, you know, remain in the material world somehow or other. So it's rare that somebody's actually sincere. So there are many processes for all kinds of people. Krishna fulfills everyone's desires. Ye yata mam prapadyante tamstatayva bhajamyaham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So somebody who wants some bogus process, Krishna says, here you go, here's a bogus process, help yourself. But when someone becomes vitally interested in going back home, back to Godhead, then Krishna sends Sadguru, and then you have to take advantage, full advantage. And it's not easy to... Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that it takes gallons and gallons of blood to save one person from the material world. It's very tricky to extricate somebody from the material world. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
What is the definition of self-realization in our philosophy?
The definition of self-realization is mukta hitva yata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. In the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Can you say it again, please?
What is it?
Can you say it again?
Mukta hitva yata rupam swarupena vyavastiti. It means when all the coverings, the gross and subtle coverings which cover our original consciousness, are dissipated, and we come to our original swarup, which is eternal servants of Krishna in a particular relationship. This is called mukti, or self-realization. And by the process of devotional service, Kapila Dev says, just as food is digested in the stomach, similarly by performing bhakti, one will the subtle material body will be dissolved. It will be digested. And so it's a natural process that the one becomes detached from the material concept of life and gradually makes advancement towards that perfectional stage just by performing bhakti. Yeah.
What's the verse that you said that about digesting the material?
It's in the third canto, obviously. Teachings of Lord Kapila Dev. And I believe it's in the chapter of the glories of devotional service. We'll have to look it up. It's there, though, I guarantee you. Or your money back. Yes?
Yeah, so, as you said, like, is it also, how is it, like, if somebody wants to meditate on Guru, or in the case of Srila Prabhupada, if they are meditating, like as he said, like we have to meditate on Krishna himself. Always think of Krishna. But is it also okay to think of Guru?
Yeah, and specifically one should meditate on the orders of the Guru. Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, first chapter, 35th verse, in the second to the last paragraph, that the when one is one doesn't have the personal association of the guru, then one should meditate on his instructions and they should become his life and soul. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, we get some instruction from the spiritual master, we should meditate on that. Because meditation, we have to engage our senses. There's a way in which we have to, I mean, they're all going in different directions. So to employ them all in a practical service is a kind of meditation. And Prabhupada confirms that in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says that book distribution is practical samadhi. Because you're engaging in executing the order of Krishna and the spiritual master by distributing books, and you're thinking of Krishna by engaging all your senses like that. That's a very powerful kind of meditation. Vishnugada Prabhu?
Question?
Expound.
Expand.
Question, okay.
So when Dhruva Maharaj had everybody choked, did he know that he was doing that?
I'd have to look. I can't remember if he was conscious of it. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think he was doing it intentionally. But in other words, it doesn't mention that he was saying, you know, if I choke everybody up, then Vishnu will come, you know, like as a strategy or something like that. I think it was just a result of the intensity of his practice. Okay. Do you remember something different?
No, I don't remember anything.
Okay.
Because usually you think when the person gets to an advanced stays like that, they're aware of what they're doing in terms of how it impacts others. And this is impacting everybody else.
That's true. I mean, one thing, it's indirectly related, but it's noteworthy, was that after he saw the Lord and the Lord blessed him, he actually touched him on his head with his conch shell and gave him his mercy. He became very fully conversant with you know, he's able to offer beautiful prayers and so forth. And then after that, he lamented greatly. I mean, most of his prayers are a lament because he said, I was asking for something. Why did I do that? Why did I ask for anything? He, you know, even after Narada told me, I still went for it. And what's wrong with me? Actually, at one point, he blames the demigods. He said, they must have bewildered my intelligence to keep this mentality of being attached, even after my spiritual master told me, you know, what the goal is. But he lamented, and it just sort of shows that while he was endeavoring to reach Krishna, he was, although, you know, we say he's fully aware, afterwards he was even more refined after he saw Krishna, because otherwise why would he lament for his previous condition? If he was fully aware that, you know, he was asking... He felt really that he had asked for some gross thing, you know, that, you know, why did I request anything? So there was even a greater level of refinement after he had attained that perfection.
Did Suniti, she went back to Godhead.
Yeah. Suniti is mother. Yes. Yeah. Suniti went back to Godhead, and Suruchi got burned in a fire in the forest. She was killed. Actually, so was the younger brother of Dhruva Maharaj. He got killed by a yaksha. A powerful yaksha killed him. And then it just says a brief thing about his mother, you know, went off and she got killed also. She died.
So usually you think of she gave him kind of the instruction
right,
to go to the forest and find God. Right? So you might think on some level she was some kind of Varpa Pradarshika guru. But it wasn't her intention, really. It was kind of like an offhand comment. But Suruchi got the benefit, but it didn't seem like, at least we don't know, that Suniti did.
Yeah.
Suniti didn't know Suruchi.
We don't know what happened to her after that.
Dhruva is supposed to have asked Vishnu for the second mother's liberation also.
Okay.
I don't know. He asked for it, and if he asked, I'm sure he would have got it. But I can't help him. Dhruva is supposed to have asked Vishnu for the second mother's liberation also.
Yeah. Well, generally, anyone in the, you know, in the line of a pure devotee, I mean, if Hiranya Kashipu, when Lishringadev asked Prahlad Maharaj to take some benediction, he said, take a benediction. And Prahlad said, no, thank you. And he said, take a benediction. He said, I'm not a merchant. I don't want a benediction. I'm your servant. And he said, I'm Bhagavan. I give benedictions. You take. He said, okay, please liberate my father. And he said, he's already liberated. Your whole family before and after is liberated. Ask for something else. And then he said, any worthy benediction, please let it be that there be no material desires within the core of my heart. That's the only benediction I ask for. But in that section, it's clear that the forefathers and the those who come after in the family get benedictions. Because of the pure devotee. In fact, that's mentioned.
Even co-wives?
Even co-wives, yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, in the evidence of Prahlad Maharaj is there, and it goes all the way. Sanatana Goswami talks about this in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that the reason Bali Maharaj received such benediction from Upendra was not because of anything else, but because he came in the family of... he was a descendant of Prahlad. Because Prahlad was such a pure devotee, everyone who was descended after that. And then he mentions Banasura. He also came in the line of the family of Prahlad Maharaj. So Krishna gave him special consideration also. So there's a way in which if you're... it's not what you know, it's who you know in devotional service. If you have some connection, it's very powerful. How to be connected. Okay. Dhruva Maharaj ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gopre Manande Ani Ani Bo, Vansha Kopatrubhascha, Krupa Sundari Vacha, Titanam Bhavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo.